It's time for Mac Geek Gab, and listener Ben brings us our cool stuff found of the week. He says, as predicted by Dave in episode 1056, Jordy Bruin has released Amnesia to eliminate Mac OS 15's annoyingly persistent monthly requests to renew screen recording privacy permissions. And indeed, we will put a link in the show notes to Jordy Bruin's Amnesia. Thanks to everyone who sent this in, Alice and everybody else that sent this in. More cool stuff found like this, plus your questions answered today on Mac Geek Gab 1059 for Monday, October 14th, National Online Bank Day, 2024. Woo! Welcome to Mac Geek Up, the show where you send in cool stuff found like that, and we share it. You send in quick tips, and we share them, although I don't think we're going to do any quick tips this episode because we're going to focus on cool stuff found. But you also send in questions, and we try to answer those, and we're going to try and do that, some of that today, too. All put together into an agenda to all but ensure that each of us learns at least five new things every single time we get together. Our sponsor for this episode is BB Edit from Barebones at barebones.com. My text editor of choice. It's running on my Mac right now, as it almost always is. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. For now, here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton.
Here in South Dakota, I'm Adam Christensen.
And here, also in New Hampshire, it's Pilot Pete. Good to be with you guys. And Dave, boy, if I could take I know it's seasonal and timely, and this show will be out there forever, but I want to take just a quick moment of personal privileges and send out my thoughts and prayers and good wishes to all the people in Florida surviving their third hurricane this season. Yeah. Oh, it's brutal. Good luck to you folks down there. I had two family members down there who turned tail wisely and ran. They're home safe. I hope all you folks have family who are safe from this storm. It's bad.
Indeed. Yeah. Thank you for for saying that.
Yep. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Things are weird. We've been getting the Northern Lights here in Southern New Hampshire. This is what, the fourth time this year that we've seen them. I've never seen them before in my life. So yeah, weird things with the weather.
I actually signed up for it, and I don't remember when, where, or how, or I would tell you folks, but I've been getting the alerts because the Northern Lights are caused when solar flares happen.
Yeah.
And so we've been getting excess radiation from that big yellow thing in the sky for the last several days. And I get it from the FAA to say, hey, when you're above certain latitudes and altitudes, you're going to be exposed to greater radiation. So
you must laugh, Pete, when you see all of us normies posting pictures of the Northern Lights from our homes or, you know, from the beach or wherever we go at 10 p.m. because, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And it is amazing for everybody that isn't at 35,000 feet at night regularly, because the pictures you've sent me of the Northern Lights are nothing like what I'm seeing here.
So I have actually a pretty funny tech-related story related to that. Okay. I was on my very first ocean crossing once training's over, you go to what's called IOE, initial operating experience. You can do that for 25 hours with a Czech airman who knows all the standards and makes sure that you're up to speed so that when you're released to go fly with a captain who isn't a Czech airman, that you're good. You're not going to leave the guy out there hanging, flying solo. And so I'm on my first transatlantic flight after training, after being released. And the captain was in the back in the bunk, and the relief pilot was in the captain's chair. I was in the first officer's chair. And the most amazing Northern Lights I've ever seen in my life are flashing across the sky. And we're like, oh, this is incredible. So we turned down every light in the cockpit, and the MD-11 has six screens about 9 inches across, and that's all your flight instruments. Well, the autopilot's on and everything, so you can turn those screens down, dim or off, as the case may be. So we turned them all off, every light in the cockpit off, and sat there and watched the Northern Lights for 8 or 10 minutes, and then went, okay, it's time to go back to work. So we turned all the lights back on, and all six of those screens were black.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm getting the adrenaline pumping to the heart. Telling this story, I'm getting the adrenaline pumping to the heart. I've got an airplane over the North Atlantic in December at night, and I've got no flight instruments. Now I've got to go wake up the captain and tell him, all we've got is two little peanut gyros and a computer to interact with. I mean, it's flying along. It's doing told, and it will continue to fly the route as long as there are no changes.
You just don't get the information you want. Yeah,
if there are any changes, you're kind of hosed. And about the time I was ready to unstrap the seatbelt and go get him, the screens started to fade back in. Because, unlike LEDs, these are COT, cathode ray tubes, which take a little warm-up time.
Boy, don't you learn that? You never forget that lesson after you learn it, though.
No. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God. Oh,
what have we done?
We've got no flight instruments. Oh, we're screwed.
Amazing.
So it was. But last night went out to watch the Northern Lights, and we were late. We didn't see them. My whole family is disappointed. They're fleeting.
They are.
They're happening. But
it's amazing getting to see. I mean, I know a lot of us that have never seen them before have gotten several opportunities this year so far to see them, which is pretty good. Hey, I want to make sure we don't forget these things because we forgot one of them last week. The police code of 1059 is for either a convoy escort or a security check. So I just wanted to make sure we got that in because we're at episode 1059.
So, I looked that up as well. I show security check or, perfect for this show, malicious mischief.
Oh, all right. I'll take it. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Evidently, these 10 codes are not universal nationwide. They are regional, it seems, which is cool.
Right.
Let's
get on to some 1059, some malicious mischief.
Well, I want to make sure to remind everybody, if you go to macgeekab.com/giveaway, this month it's through Eternal Storms, and that is Yoink and Screen Float. So, I mispronounced it last week as Screen Flow, but it is Yoink and Screen Float. And you can go sign up at macgeekab.com/giveaway. And there's several ways to increase your odds of winning. And so that's rocking along here. September's giveaway winners included the Reverend Gary Apter, Rob Van Koningsbruggen, Jeff Murphy, Roger Harmon, and Alexander. I should have practiced this in advance because I could have gotten it. Podosinov. Alexander Podosinov. It was just throwing me off.
That's my reading of it.
Yeah. I just had to take a second with it. Yep. So, but now I'll get it every time.
Alpo.
No.
For sure.
No. Let's go back to cool stuff found, please.
Oh, come on, man. If I can't hang a call sign on somebody, you know, what am I supposed to do?
Alpo it is. Yeah, that's fine. Once a Marine, always a Marine, folks. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Andrew wrote in with our
It's a signed with love, cool Alpo. Found. It's a signed with
there
love.
There you go. Yeah. Which could quickly get you the call sign dog as well. So, you know. Andrew wrote in with a cool stuff found called Itsy Cal. It puts a calendar in your menu bar. He says, for years I've been using Itsy Cal. It puts calendar in your menu bar, and I'm often looking for dates quickly and being able to see the whole month quickly. And yes, I know with widgets, you can put one on your desktop. He goes, but this way it's sitting in the menu bar. All I do is tap it and I can look at the calendar for the entire month ahead, as well as see my diary and to-dos, and it's free. And I saw that. Yeah, when you tap on that, it comes down and it pulls up all your to-dos for the day and the week or month ahead, and that's kind of cool. He says, but wait, there's more. I just noticed it can chime on the hour, and the sound is like the old Casio squeak, squeak, right on our digital watches in the 1980s. So if you're looking for a way to annoy your office mates... check that box.
There you go.
So, yeah, Itsy Cal.
Itsy
Cal. Free in the App Store.
Oh, fun. Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Is it free in the App Store or just free? I think just free from their website. It might be in the App Store, but
I got it in the App Store.
You did? Oh, okay. So it's available in both places. Okay, great. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Amazing.
Nice.
Fun. Yupple. All right.
All right. Guess what?
What?
Judy has a pair of cool stuff found for us.
A twofer.
She says, or I assume, because I shouldn't assume things, but hello, everyone. I want to say thank you for recommending the app Eject Bar. It works great. I was using another app for that, but way too often it would run and run and run so that my M1 MacBook Pro would get hot. Eject Bar does not do that. Another app that I don't know if you've talked about is NeoFinder. I use it to catalog my drives. It gets updated regularly. I think we had that conversation not too long ago about archiving drives and figuring out what's on, being able to keep track of what's on it. So NeoFinder sounds like that would be a good option, according to Judy. And then also says, I also use Wondershare PDF Element. I use it to OCR newsletters and emails. It works great and wasn't expensive. So I've heard a lot of good things about that app as well. Yeah. So if you want to OCR your PDFs to make them more searchable, easier to find things, easier to copy and paste things out of, there's an option there for you.
Amazing. I like it. Cool. Fun stuff. Yeah. I like the... NeoFinder is one that we have mentioned a few times, but it definitely seems to be a favorite out there. So, yeah, thank you for that, Judy. In our Discord, SCCR Hallways writes in that there is a new Brave-style browser based on Firefox instead of on Chromium called Zen Browser. And he shared a little bit more. He says Zen gives a bunch more customizations for Firefox, kind of bringing an Arc browser-like feel, but with the Firefox base. And, of course, you can go and download it for free. All the links for all these things are in the show notes. This one's at zen-browser.app. But, again, just go visit macgeekab.com, look at episode 1059, and you'll have all the links there. Or, even better, go to macgeekab.com, sign up for the weekly show notes to be delivered to your email box, and then you can just click all these things right in your email box. You will never miss another set of show notes again. And I know a lot of folks archive these show notes. We also archive them at macgeekab.com, but if you want to have your own archive of them, of course, go there. And the search engine will also let you find different things in there. And I've been toying with... probably ChatGPT API-based integration to the website to kind of search episodes and even the transcripts so that you can really start to find things. We're not quite there yet, but it's pretty cool what is able. But anyway, yeah, go sign up for the email list. That'll get you all this stuff. So, yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Yavel.
Well, and Jave, I could be wrong. He could write to us at feedback@macgeekgab.com.
That's feedback@macgeekab.com. That's correct.
What'd you say? feedback@macgeekab.com?
You got to get with the
That's
program.
That's what I
Adam.
Said.
That's right.
Yeah. and the person specifically I want us to is to tell us, I've always just assumed it was Soccer Hallways.
Okay.
SCCR. Soccer Hall. Just
Let us know.
So write to us there and let us know.
Yeah.
So
or comment in Discord.
Yeah. I had a personal cool stuff found this week, and frankly, David, you showed it to me, and we may have mentioned it on the show before even. I don't recall. However, I was had family visiting, and we went down to Boston and did the duck tour from the Science Museum, where it's $10 an hour to park. Oh, my God, that quickly adds up. And we wanted to go over and do the Freedom Trail, which was going to be quite a walk over to begin it. And I was like, I wonder if there's any parking over there. And I remembered, and I went to Spot Hero.
Yeah, man.
And I found a spot that was less than 3 hours worth of parking for the rest of the entire day on into the evening, right off Boston Common. And it was so cool. I go, that's the area I want to park in. Here's what the price is for the rest of the day. You click on it. I get pictures and descriptions to go down this alley. Back in, and so people are like selling their parking spaces for you for the rest of the day, among other things. I mean, sometimes it's in a garage, sometimes it's commercial and all that. But it gets really, it's kind of like Uber for parking spots is the best way I can think of it.
That's a great description. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's so much cheaper than the big part. Now, I understand the parking garages, when they sell at you a spot, it's probably cheaper than their going rate in order to get on the spot here. Although I don't know, but I found it to be great. Here's the thing. I was in and out for $26 from 2:30 until 9 at night.
Yep.
And
in Boston, for those of you to level Boston. Set, that's no, that doesn't happen.
Deal. That's like next to free.
Yep. No, I like Spot Hero for that. Yeah, because you're often parking at someone's house. You know, it's their spot that they're kind of, you know, selling off for the day or whatever. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, I like it.
Cool. So,
yupper.
Yeah.
All right. So I have one that something I got just recently, and I just started kind of messing with it. It's something I've been meaning to get on for a long time, or actually my wife's been asking me to get on for a long time, and the latest stuff going on in Florida and just around the world made me finally pull the trigger, along with a really good deal. So it's a solar generator, basically.
Really?
This one's from Jackery. They were having a Amazon deals day thing. Yeah. So this kit is a 6 kilowatt hour kit.
What?
So 6,000 watts of battery power. Yeah.
That's going to be plenty to run much of your home. Yeah.
Like your refrigerator and stuff. Yeah.
Your refrigerator, your boiler.
For about 6 hours or so. And then as it's solar, you can charge. And the way it is there's the base unit that has, you know, all the plugs and the outlets, including a 220 and, you know, charging ports, USB-C and regular, and you could turn them on and off. There's a great little app that comes with it that you can connect to monitor it. And then it has two additional external batteries. So each one is, you know, 2000 watts or kilowatt hours. So you just kind of stack them up, and then they just connect together almost with them. You just run them in parallel with, they look like the charging cables you'd use for an electric car, basically.
Yeah.
And you just daisy chain them together, and you can actually get these external batteries that are 2000 each. I think you can get up to 12 of them. So you can have 24 if you wanted. So it's expandable too, which is nice. Same thing with like the solar panels. So I did get an extra set of solar panels. So I think with like 4 solar panels, one of the batteries will take about 4 hours to charge if you're getting good solar. So it's very sustainable. Again, not cheap, but I would watch, because they do have deals. And when they had this Amazon deal going, I got it, the whole setup, for 50% off.
Whoa.
It was 50% off. Whoa. Yeah. So it was half the price that you're seeing there is what I paid.
And that's not much more than a gasoline generator.
Not too much.
At 50% off.
Yeah. You know, so the price that we're seeing online is about just shy of $6,000. And
they have a $1,000 off coupon right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
but that's already the 1,000 off price. But yeah, I got it. They had an Amazon deal at 50% off. So that's amazing. I would watch the website. Don't pay full price. They discount this thing quite frequently, it looks like.
Have you gotten it yet, Adam? Or did you just?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. And, you know, we plugged a bunch of things in, because they tell you when you get it, run the batteries down. So they were at about 30%.
Yep.
So I plugged in my MacBook. I plugged in a lamp and a air filter. It wasn't drawing much power at all. And it ran for about 3 days, those three things.
Yeah.
From 30% to get it down to zero. And then you can obviously plug it in. So I plugged it in and charged the whole system, charged back up in about 4 hours or something like that.
Okay.
4 to 6 hours for all the batteries to come all the way up to 100%. And then they're ready to go.
I have questions about this, because I've been thinking about this for a while. But looking at this, do you know if it can, it looks like it might be able to be plugged in to like a service panel. We call them Gentran.
Yes, they have a kit for that. So if you go back to the right below the one that was selected on the page, if you scroll back up to the top, there's an add-on transfer switch.
Ah, so okay.
You would need that.
Yep. Okay. So it,
and
it
then
will,
you can plug it into your right into your panel and it, and yeah,
almost,
right into your house.
Yeah, it almost looks like a like if you already have a Gentran box for and a gasoline generator, this might fit into it. I'll have to reach out to them and ask because that would be amazing. Because then you can power like you know you would plug this into the circuit breaker or parts of the circuit breaker is usually how that works. You know, and then it can power your boiler and your refrigerators, and you don't have to run cables all over creation to do that.
Right.
So, that's really interesting.
And then you don't have to worry about getting out and getting gasoline, you know, 3 days into your power failure.
Yeah. How long would it take you to charge it with solar power where you are?
So if you get, like I said, one of those batteries I have, I ended up getting four panels total. So they're Solar Saga 200 panels or whatever.
Yep.
And I think those four will charge a single battery in 4 hours. So what I would imagine is if I need it extended, I would unhook one battery, have everything running on 4,000 kilowatt hours, have the other battery charging up, and then just be swapping batteries and charging, you know, sort of rotating them.
Yeah.
Because you can plug the solar panels right into one of those batteries.
Got it.
So if I needed more than 6 hours, you know, like this is really our idea is like, you know, if we have a extended power outage, you know, we can keep our freezer, you know, running or whatever. And it, again, it's all going to depend on the size of your devices. You know, it may be worth getting a smaller kind of refrigerator that doesn't draw as much power that you could emergency plug into. We haven't worked out all the details, but we just wanted something at this point because we didn't have anything. And, you know, we're looking at other options for like a natural gas generator or something at some point. But well, this was a, you know, what if they're like literally we can't get services, we can't get natural gas or we can't get gas. This is solar. So you'll at least have something. It's not going to be able to probably do everything for forever, but in an emergency, when you're a few days without power, it should get you through.
It'll get you through. Yeah.
So
well,
that's the idea.
Because we did a propane generator at the house, it's a whole house generator. It powers everything. But the office is a separate feed. And so I still have my portable generator here, but I've really been looking at something like this because this would be enough to keep the office probably better than limping along. It would be great. And then I don't have to worry about maintaining a generator and all that stuff. So,
Well, and again, you look at what's happening, unfortunately, in Florida, right? And it's like there's places you can't get gas. So if you had a gas generator, great, but
amazing,
you know?
All right. Thank you. And thank you for for affording us this detour, folks. I mean, it's not really a detour. It's a cool stuff found and you get to manage it with your phone. So, you know, it's all together. That's cool. And hopefully it provides the power to your Wi-Fi access points so that you can connect to it and manage it.
Well, the question is the internet service provider available?
Well, hopefully the connection, that would be another question to ask, is the connection from your phone to manage the generator, is it cloud-based or is it
Bluetooth?
It's Bluetooth. Ah, perfect. That's as it's supposed to be. Very smart. Okay, good. All right.
Awesome.
If you folks know anything about this stuff, let us know. I have a feeling that based on things I've heard from some of you, that this might spark a thread that continues on for a
while. I think
bit.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you folks know anything, feedback at MacKeyCab.com. What do you got for us, Pete?
You heard him. Well, for those of you that travel, when you get off an airplane, you're either waiting in line to ask the gate agent, hey, where's the flight to San Diego go? Or you're looking around for one of those flight boards that lists all the flights. Well, what if you had one in your pocket? You could look up anytime, all the why there's an iPhone, or I think there's even one for Android too, but you Android users need to get an iPhone.
Oh,
these things are great. I'm telling you. So that's a cool stuff found the iPhone. Flightboard is an app that will tell you the gate that you're arriving, the gate that you're departing from, all the major airports, commercial flights throughout the world. Actually, I've used it in Paris and London and India. And the other thing it'll do is it will get you flight tracking if you want to know where is this flight that's coming in. So there's a paid and a free version. The paid, I think, is $24.99 a year for ad free. Frankly, I don't mind the ads. I and I've been using the free version for years. I love it. But I can quickly know that I'm going to be coming into gate B7 and I need to get myself over to C35 to get out. And I don't have to stop and wait or look around or try and find a board or fight the crowds, you know, in front of the board, because everybody parks themselves right in front of the board, right? And you're trying to see, and you know.
Yeah.
So I know before I even get off the airplane what gate I'm going to, and it updates frequently with gate changes. So yeah, flight board's my little
pocket, it's flight board from Impala Studios. Is that do I have the right
that's
link?
It. Okay. Yep. Yeah. It's a yellow icon with a black airplane planform silhouette in it.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd never heard of this one. I'll have to check this out. I I'm a big fan of Flight Aware, which really gives it doesn't have the most modern looking interface, maybe is the right way to say it, but boy howdy does it give me what I need. And the free account with Flight Aware gets me, I think I can queue up 5 notifications of upcoming flights, and you know, that's at any point in time. Yeah. That's all I need. Yep.
Track family coming in for the holidays.
Correct.
When they're going to land, so when you need to leave your house.
Well, and I get
pick them up.
I get a notification that the flight plan's been filed. I get notifications of delays before about 2 minutes before the airlines send those in. And so if I'm standing in the airport and I get a notification of a delay, I go get up in line before everybody else knows. And oftentimes I've had them ask me, they're like, no, the flight's not delayed. What makes you think that? I'm like, well, can I just stand here and talk to you for a second? And then they'll be like, wait, the flight's delayed. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, you should get this app. It's cool.
I tried to tell you.
I tried to tell you. The other one that I have used, but not much, but I know a lot of people like, is called Flighty, FlightY.com. And there is an app for it too. But people seem to love Flighty. So that's one I've been considering checking out as well. So I figured I'd mention it here.
Was that under another name before?
Oh, good question. Maybe.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Okay.
It looks pretty.
It does. Yeah. That's the thing. I think that's what people like about it, is it looks pretty. And you get, it uses the iOS. I think it won an Apple Design Award. It uses the iOS like live actions on your lock screen thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that you can see the progress of a flight and you know that kind of thing. So you know, yeah, it takes advantage of all the stuff. So, yep, I need to mess with that. So, I'm sure I will at some point. Good stuff. We talked about an app called Lifespan from Micromat as part of a question that listener Larry asked a couple of weeks ago. And mainly he was asking, do I need to worry about the lifespan of my SSDs? And I got a note from Christian from Micromat, the folks that make Tech Tool and also, of course, Lifespan. And he listened to the episode and said, I agree with the discussion surrounding modern solid state media. It's likely that you'll replace your Mac long before the internal solid state storage reaches a concerning level for reliable data storage. Their app, Lifespan 2, he continues, is particularly useful for those using removable media, such as SD cards, compact flash, or C flash. These devices are often reused multiple times and due to their smaller capacities compared to internal SSDs can show a quicker decline in their lifespan. Ah, now we know what this is for.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. It says, on the other hand, users with Macs that have internal Apple Fusion drives may experience significant drops in lifespan over time. That makes sense. He says, anecdotally, I faced this issue years ago with my development Mac that had a 128 gig SSD as part of the Apple Fusion drive config. After building in Xcode multiple times, 5 days a week for a year, I watched the remaining lifespan of the SSD portion of the Fusion drive plummet to just 5% before I finally replaced it. And he says to say hello to you, Adam and Pilot Pete. So thank you, Christian.
Nice.
Yeah. The Fusion drive thing makes a lot of sense because those things are reading and writing constantly because they're small, first of all, and that's the whole point of the Fusion drive, right?
Right.
It's like it keeps the most recent stuff you've been working on the fast SSD part, you know, within the operating system. But I would imagine it's swapping constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what'll kill your.
It was a good
SSDs.
Idea at the time, right? When SSDs, especially those that one might purchase via Apple, were exorbitantly, punitively expensive.
Right.
And so the Fusion Drive was that sort of middle ground of, okay, you know, we'll give you some of the speed of the SSD with storage of rotation. I mean, like at the time, it was
a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So. That was a fantastic description. Punitively expensive.
Yeah, their like, storage and memory.
What did I do wrong that made me have to pay this fine here? Yeah.
Right.
Well, you decided to be a Mac owner.
Living on the bleeding edge.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, you're right. You're correct, Adam. Yeah.
The bleeding edge of tech is always expensive.
It is.
I don't believe that. I mean, their SSDs are good. I'm not. They are.
Yeah.
Up of the upper echelon, but I'm sorry, they are overcharging for memory and for storage, flat out,
and for storage on iCloud too,
and on
they're making a lot of money.
I don't blame them for making money when they can, but absolutely. At the same time, I'm not going to forgive them for what is obviously egregiously overcharging people.
Pete,
all the cell carriers in the United States.
Good point. To tie everything together, Brian8944 in our Discord chat at live.macgeekab.com says Apple was involved in malicious mischief with those hard drive and SSD prices. Yes. Yep. Well done. Well played. 1059 Well played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Some more malicious mischief. This is a seasonal kind of cool stuff found and fleeting, but from the twisted mind of none other than Tim Burton is the sequel to Beetlejuice. And at the risk of calling him up, the sequel is none other than Beetlejuice.
Wait, don't say it.
And fun movie. If you're a fan of the first one at all, the second one brings back many of the original characters, Winona Ryder's in it, Michael Keaton, Catherine O'Hara. Well-written, fun story, great gags. It's 2 weeks before Halloween or so, roughly as we record this. Fun Halloween movie, and if you want to have two nights of fun, go back and watch the original and then watch the sequel. It was a fun, I don't know a better way to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Twisted mind, that man.
Awesome. Yes, I agree. Yeah. I am always reminded in my band Bitter Pill, we play mostly original music, and we have one song that is, we call it Alone, but it is modeled after the poem in the original Beetlejuice, I Am Alone by Lydia Dietz. And it ends with, I am utterly alone. It was a great little poem
There you go. Yeah. Well, they actually got around the character Charles Dietz in the original, he's passed away. He was the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day
Ferris
Off.
Bueller, right?
Right.
Yeah. And he's since passed away. So they get around that because they have to explain his passing, and they claymation how he was done away with.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he is still a character in the afterlife in this movie, but they cleverly got around it by the manner of his death. So
nice.
Cool.
It's great.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to see that. Yeah, for sure. That's on the list here. We are. Halloween is
definitely on the list. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I want to take a minute here and talk about our sponsor for this episode, which of course is BB Edit from Bare Bones. So, if you've ever found yourself staring at a massive document, wondering if there's some secret spell that could make your life easier, You already had the spoiler. BB Edit, our sponsor, is that spell. I use BB Edit all the time. I use it to count words, compare documents, track timestamps for our show notes. That's how I assemble everything. And of course, even for coding, it's like having a Swiss Army knife made specifically for, well, nerds like us. One of my favorite features is the Minimap palette. That's like having a tiny helicopter view of your entire document. No more scrolling endlessly through walls of text like it's 1998 just to find that section, right? You can see the whole thing and find it there. And then they've got these cheat sheets. Forget memorizing stuff. BB Edit lets you create quick reference guides for Markdown or even use someone else's cheat sheet. It's practically cheating, but you know, in the best way possible, because it's part of the thing and you get to do that. Oh, and then ChatGPT integration, next level. You can use it to generate text, summarize long documents, or even help brainstorm ideas, and it all is right there inside BB Edit. It's like having an AI sidekick who's always ready to help you with your work. Just don't ask it to fold your laundry. I've tried and I'm still waiting, but it did help me write this ad script, and so we can blame it for the laundry joke. So there's that. Folks, don't get caught wrestling with basic tools. Get BB Edit and become the text editing wizard you were born to be. Head over, of course, to barebones.com. They've got a great eval period, 30-day eval. You can really check it all out and see what BB Edit can do for you. Your documents will thank you. And I will thank the folks at Barebones for having BB Edit sponsor this episode. All right. I will also note that I did that ad read live, of course. I aim to have our ad reads be somewhere between 90 seconds and 2 minutes. That one was exactly 2 minutes long. Exactly. I didn't even have to edit it or anything. So, you know,
well,
there you go. Yep.
Perfect.
Yepper.
Cool.
You want to take us to the next cool stuff found? We've got more.
Sure, we got more cool stuff found. This one actually harkens back to, I think, a conversation we were having about secure passwords and creating, you know, memorable passwords and having that one secure password that maybe you're using, or just passwords for all your things. And Ed, and I think also Allison, probably sent this along, because our friend Bart Bishatz actually has a website called xkpasswd.net. So xkpasswd.net, obviously there'll be a link in the show notes, which allows you to generate all kinds of passwords. It's actually, it looks like it's in beta right now, but it basically does what it purports to do. You can adjust the settings if you want, or it has all kinds of different patterns that you can pick, including the XKCD password, which is a meme, or if you've been in tech circles, XKCD did a great thing for how to generate memorable passwords in one of their comics. And so it uses that pattern, but he has all kinds of different patterns pre-set up. And then of course you can tweak it even more if you want. You can generate a certain number of them. So you can say, I want to see three different ones, and then you can pick one. So it's a great place to go generate a really good secure password.
Yeah. And you're right. Allison also wrote in about this and said that there's this beta version of it. They are working very hard. I think Allison is on the team that's kind of making this happen at beta.xkpasswd.net. Again, all linked in the show notes. Cleaning up the interface and doing all these presets. Like you said, there's a preset for XKCD. There's even a preset for Apple IDs that's easy to type on an iOS keyboard, so you're not doing a lot of keyboard switching. She says it's technically in beta because they're still modifying the interface and adding new capabilities like storing your own customized presets. So, yeah, I use this routinely to generate passwords. It's great stuff for sure. Yeah. Yavol. Shall we keep moving on here?
Keep moving on.
Keep moving on. Sure. You want to take us to Bob there, Adam?
Sure.
Sweet.
Yeah, Bob has a cool stuff found called the plug bug. He says, make sure you don't leave your power behind. He says, I have no need for this as I rarely travel, but I know that Dave and Pilot Pete do. This handy, hand, This handy sounding device could save you from leaving any of your Find My items behind in a hotel or an Airbnb. And it's the 12 South Plug Bug, which is a great little multi-USB port charger adapter. I think it goes on, if I'm remembering right, it goes on your existing power bricks, or
power brick. I think now it's its own power brick. You're right that in the early days it used to kind of go on things, but this new Plug Bug with Find My, it's got multiple ports on it, and it's got Find My in it, so you will hopefully never forget it. And it's built to be flat against the wall, so that if you have to like hide it, you know, behind the bed or whatever in a hotel room, it'll work.
Right. Yeah, and it's got the ports on the bottom pointing down rather than straight out. And anybody who's had to deal with Apple's charger and it's sticking straight out, then you know you're cranking your cord if you got it behind something and it's going to break, and that's not good. But yeah, the Find My thing is the big thing in here. So yeah, so they redesigned it. The original Plug Bug, though, was really, really cool too. Do they still have that one? Because that one slid, if I'm remembering right, it slid onto your Apple charger. You know how the Apple charger has that little pull-off piece, and you could plug it in, and then I think it added additional like ports that you could plug into. It kind of adapted it. So
I don't know. This is definitely the Plug Bug with Find My. I don't know if there's still the original Plug Bug. I'm looking here. Yep. I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, this one, Find My built in. So that's awesome.
And I
wonder if.
Go ahead, Pete.
I wonder if the Find My has any audio to it. You know, like the.
Great.
Like the. What do you call them? Yeah. Because you know what doesn't is the remote. The Apple TV remotes have Find My in them, and they've finally been unlocked, but they don't have, you can't make them make any noise. So, and mine still said it was 11 feet away yesterday when I had it in my hand. I'm like, oh, come on. It's got to be better than this.
It doesn't say, it does, or I'm not finding it. It might say, I'm trying to do this live here, but what it does say is that the Find My is powered by a button battery. So it does not need to be plugged in for Find My to be able to work.
Nice.
So, And to answer your question, Adam, yes, the original Plug Bug is still available, and that converts your, you know, kind of brick charger from your devices, any MacBook power adapter to be used globally. So that's
So UK, Europe, China.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty cool. Good. Pretty nice. Good. I like it. Yeah. Fun stuff. Where are we here? Oh, we're going to Todd. Yeah, Todd. Okay. So Todd, and I'm vamping here because I got to find it. Todd says in a recent episode, Deke was talking about being able to control all of his HomeKit and non-HomeKit devices with a shared iPad. He says the Onvis Smart Button 5 Keys Smart Switch does what I need and saves me the iPad. He says, I have many Meross smart switches and plugs to control our lights. There are shortcut automations set to turn the first floor lights on prior to sunset and automations, of course, to turn them off. Our older son visited and was working well past that when I set all of the lights to turn off in the house. He voiced some frustration the next morning of being left in the dark. He has his own Apple Home set up and is not joined to ours. To solve this for him and others, I purchased this Onvis smart button. He says, I keep this magnetized on the side of our kitchen refrigerator, and there's a button to turn all the lights on and a button to turn all the lights off. And he says, oh, I think I muted myself on the video.
You did.
Sorry about
that.
He says, the audio is fine, but the video is not. He says, I keep this magnetized on the side of our kitchen refrigerator, and there is a button to turn all the lights off and a button to turn all the lights on. I have not added other automations as yet, but there are plenty of buttons and combinations left to support this down the road. So it's a little square thing, maybe the size of half of your iPhone, it looks like, and it has four buttons in each, you know, one button in each of the four corners, and then a button in the middle, which is the fifth button on this 5-key smart switch. And That's pretty interesting. It's compatible with HomeKit. It can trigger accessories and scenes with Thread. Huh. Fascinating. Huh. Interesting. $35 bucks on Amazon. We got a link for it in the show notes. Yeah, I can see this being handy. If you don't want to replace like the switches in your walls with smart switches, you could have these, and it saves you probably a bunch of money and the headache of, you know, rewiring all your stuff. Huh. Cool.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of these little scriptable buttons, but that's a nice one because it's got a lot of options on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Ah, I like this. I love doing the Cool Stuff Found episodes. Jason reminds us, or tells
many thousands of dollars later into this one, Dave.
What's that? Well, so a lot of this was free. A lot of it was free.
But then Adam, I think you have the all-time record on a $6,000 item there, Adam. Just saying.
Again, about three.
I advise you wait till it's on a really good deal and get it for about half off. You know.
Fair enough. Yeah. The Wallet Buster episode.
Some of these things are. It's true.
That's okay.
It is. Cool. It's how it works.
Yeah. Cool tech is not free.
Often. Always. Sometimes.
Sometimes it is. Yeah. But not always. Yeah.
Jason tells us about Stop the Madness on macOS. And the description on Stop the Madness says, many websites deliberately disable user interface features in your browser that you normally expect to work. Stop the Madness re-enables features like command click and middle click to open a link in a new tab, command key shortcuts, opening contextual menus, selecting, copying, cutting, and pasting of text. Yes, the websites that turn this off drive me nuts. Drag and drop, autofill, complete of passwords, emails. Stop the Madness also protects your privacy. It removes tracking tags. It stops clickjacking. It stops hyperlink auditing by removing anchor ping attributes on link clicks. Oh, this is pretty cool. It can stop videos from autoplaying. I feel like we've talked about this in the past, but man,
I think we have, but yeah, that's so nice.
Yeah. Contextual. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Did you know about this, Adam?
No, but it's definitely addresses a big pet peeve that I have. Again, I've worked in the web development world for a long, long time, and I've encountered a lot of clients over the years who think that they can protect their images by, you know, disabling right click on their website, and then no one's going to steal their images falsely. Right. And it's just annoying because if you're a web developer, you need to do anything like inspect the page, or like you literally can't right click and say, you know, inspect or show source or whatever. And it's just freaking annoying. So I always, the tip I will give everybody is, if you go into your inspector now on a page like this, you're going to have to go under the menu, like turn on the developer menu and go to the inspector. You can go to the network tab. You can filter by images, reload the page, and it will give you a list of every image on that page, and you can download it from there. So,
Right.
There's an easy way around this. Like, it's not hard to get those images. The right click is not protecting those images from anything. So just FYI.
Yeah.
Don't do that, people. But yeah, this is a great tool, obviously, for getting around websites that do that.
Which is
frustrating.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. Cool. Yeah, now I want to install this. But I have to wait because we still have more show to do. Our old friend Serge Sozniak, who has been around in the Mac industry for a very, very long time doing a variety of different things, recently acquired MacUpdate.com. That was started by Joel, and I can't remember his last name. I don't know why. It was acquired, I believe, from Joel by Zeolink, which were the folks that made a lot of things, including Mac Keeper. And Serge recently acquired it from Zeolink. I guess they weren't doing much with it. And so Mac Update is now back to being owned by someone, you know, here that has sort of grown up in our Apple community. And MU Notifier is their app and has been refreshed. It's their app that you run that watches to see what your software is. What software needs to be updated and all that good stuff. So MU Notifier is out there now, and I will put links to all of this in the show notes, but the app actually works again, and it had not for quite a long time. So that was kind of one of the first things that Serge did. I think he acquired the site back in April, I want to say, and has been working tirelessly on kind of bringing it up to speed. So I'm curious to see what he does. So Yavel, we're still good, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Pete?
Well, you know, here's what you should do, folks. And Dave doesn't like to say you should do this. I'm going to say you should do this. You should do it right now. Stop the car, pull over, and go to MacGeekGab.com/review and send us a 5-star review. When you go to that webpage, you'll get a choice to put in a review at Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, GoodNods, or Spotify. And you can send in a review, say, like this one from Mac Genius. My favorite tech podcast, bar none. I learned something new and more often than not numerous things in every episode. That's Daryl Rhodes from Canada. Or this
oh,
one.
Oh, no, you're reading last week's one.
Oh, I am.
You
oh,
are. I, oh, we already I, read
I,
those.
I am.
Do you want me to read? Do you want me to read this week's?
Dave, I do, yeah,
because okay.
I don't have them handy now.
Yeah,
I,
no problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, we got two from the United States to balance the two we got last week from Canada. Dan in San Diego says, my go-to Mac podcast, this is hands down my number one Mac podcast. It's great for learning new things as well as diving into the geekiest things. I never miss this podcast. I look forward to watching it on the YouTube channel every Monday morning. Dave, Adam, and Pete, I've always been prompt and knowledgeable when answering my questions. Thanks for providing this. Well, thanks for listening, Dan. Absolutely. And Steve DTNYC says, look no further. As an avid listener of MGG for over 7 years, I never miss an episode, and it's always the first thing I listen to every Monday morning on my drive into the office. I'll then often finish the show up once I'm in my office, and undoubtedly someone will walk in and ask, what show is this? I need to subscribe because it's that good and that chock full of amazing info. Week after week, MGG constantly delivers. The banter between Adam, Pete, and Dave is engaging and entertaining, and you always walk away with another nugget of Mac or iPhone knowledge that makes you think, that's awesome. Well, your review is awesome, so... likewise,
indeed.
My friend.
Indeed. Yeah. And thank I you. Should have had those ready.
That's okay. It's all good. This is not a one-person show. We all help
right?
each other here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. While we're at it, I want to thank everyone whose premium contributions have come in over the last couple of weeks here. That's at MacGeekGab.com/premium where you can go. It is not mandatory. It is very much optional, but certainly very much appreciated, where you can contribute to the show and the production of things and all of that. We have, I got to scroll to where I'm supposed to be. I was in the wrong spot. We have a $60 contribution from Steven in New York. Thank you. We have a $50 contribution from John in Studio City. Thank you. We have $30 contributions from Sando in Garnet Valley and Jimmy in Cushing. We have $25 contributions from Doug in Richmond, Wayne in Waipahu, or Randy in Westport, David in Troutdale, Anthony in Bournemouth, Stephen in Linlithgow, Michelle in Quebec, Bruce in Decatur, Wesley in Sharon in Wesley Chapel. I'll get this right. Ralph in Bangor, Jeffrey in Windsor, Jonathan in Woodside, Chris in Windsor. Are they both in the same Windsor? No, different Windsors. That would be interesting. Maybe we'd have to go to Windsor. Maybe there's a high concentration. Huge in Windsor. Mac Geek Cabin is. Susan in Honolulu. Paul in Pomona. Mike in Raleigh. Craig in Pace. Robbie in Hendersonville. Kurt in Tawanda. Ed in Torrance. Kirit in Bloomfield Hills. Colby in Otis. Mark in New Palestine. Andrew in Bellingen. Rob in South Hurstville, Roger in North Charlestown, all with $25 contributions. Thank you very much. And then $10 contributions from Jason in Charlestown, not North Charlestown, Stephen in Costa Mesa, Wagner in Allen, Gary in Babylon, Robert in Columbiana, James in San Antonio, James in Melbourne, Mark in Vero Beach, Donald in Furlong, Nick in Marquette, Cal in Russellville, and Jeremiah in Edgewater. Thanks to all of you and to everyone who's a member of the premium program. And also To everyone who listens and sends in questions and tips and all the things that make it so that we get to keep doing this, and we love it. It's
the amazing
fuel that keeps the show going. Your questions, your tips, your cool stuff found. It's amazing. Yeah, it's good.
Thank you so much.
Thank indeed. You. Indeed. Yup. All right. Where are we on time? Oh, wow. Time has slowed down. This is interesting. For me, anyway. I don't know about how you feel.
It's all relative, Dave.
Linear time, it's BS. Hopefully I don't have to check the explicit
box. There was a guy who was big in tech who figured that out.
Who was that?
Einstein.
Oh, that guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
Old school, Pete.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. But
he kind of had tech figured out long before anybody else, though.
Yeah, it's true. Smart dude. Yep. He thunk real good, Pete. He thunk real good. Right. All right. Tim in our Don't Get Caught. I'm not going to play the theme song this week, right? We're okay without playing the theme song. Okay.
Yeah, we're okay.
Okay, great.
We're okay.
All right. We can play it in reverse.
Hang on. No, we'll keep it moving.
Nope, we're going to play it in reverse. Oh, wait, hang on. I got to bring the volume up. There we go. That's from Lou. Years ago, Lou sent that in. Don't get caught in reverse. Tim writes and says, he actually wrote in as a question. He says, I cannot, no matter what I do, anytime I go to any Google web pages with Safari, I get the message, Safari can't open the page, followed by the URL and the message, because the server unexpectedly dropped the connection. This occurs even in safe mode, and when I've disabled extensions like Stop the Madness and One Blocker. He says, I've also checked to see if somehow I blocked it in settings, and I haven't. I can view Google sites in Firefox without the same problem. Apple Mail can also no longer retrieve Gmail messages. Okay, so this is interesting, because Firefox uses its own DNS over HTTPS. So it does not use your Mac's DNS. You can set it to use your Mac's DNS, but by default, it does not. Now, we had him check his DNS. He dug. Nope. Okay, that's not the problem. This, that, and the other thing. After further investigation, he continues, I discovered that somehow Little Snitch was set to block all Google.com traffic. I don't know how that happened, as I certainly wouldn't have done this on purpose, but as soon as I deleted the rules in Little Snitch, the problem was resolved. So sometimes we outsmart ourselves is really what this comes down to.
It's almost like editing your Etsy host file or something there, you know? When you're...
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, is it?
You could set a rule and completely forget about it.
But listen,
folks, if you didn't do that stuff, Dave wouldn't have anything to do. The man wouldn't have a job. So keep it up.
Well, it is why we do what we do here. But I've done it to myself, too. Right?
Right.
Like, we all do this, messing with stuff, installing things, testing things. And just because I've done it to myself and been frustrated, and then you find the thing and it's like, don't, like, I did this to me. Yeah. It was me. I refer to that
as a self-inflicted stupidity wound.
It's not stupidity.
You can't fix stupid.
Well, you can't fix it. I should have worn a different shirt for today. I have a bright red shirt that says that on it. So I sometimes wear it on stage. But it's not stupidity. It's experimentation. No. And
fair enough. Yeah.
Right?
Stupid isn't the right word. It's awfully frustrating when you forget that you've done it to yourself.
Correct.
That's the worst of it. You make a change and you completely, it's gone. I don't remember making that change.
Yep. Well, the worst is when you finally figure it out and you're like, oh, I do remember making that change. Like that, right. That's even worse than like, wow, I have no idea. Like I must've done this accidentally versus, oh no, I remember specifically doing that. My fault.
Yeah. Yep.
Again, please don't let that stop you from trying things, learning new things, experimenting. That's how we all got to the point where we are here. I mean, when I was a kid,
yes,
there was no one like us. And When I broke my computer, I had to figure out how to fix it on my own.
And or it stayed broke. Yeah.
Yeah. And candidly, that's what kind of inspired me to get to this point. When I was 15 or something, if you asked me what I wanted to do for a living, my answer was something that didn't exist, but it does now. I told people I want to be a computer consultant. Like that's wow. What I want to do. And you know, here we are, you know, a few years past me being 15 and we're, yep. So don't be afraid. I still do it to myself all the time. The worst part is when I do it and it impacts like the family or people right. in the business or whatever. Like the stakes yeah. are a little higher than they were when I was with my Apple IIc just poking around, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I still get that occasional question. What are you doing? What are you doing now? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, like this is going to affect me, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
No, I swear, I'm just, you know,
yeah,
I'm just looking at some.
Well, now that's kind of my goals. It's like, all right, how can I implement this new cool thing that I want to do with my network without anybody in the family knowing? Like, you know,
or getting them to go, oh, that's cool. That's so much easier.
Right. Right. That's even better. Yeah.
As opposed to, have you got your divorce lawyer on retainer?
Exactly.
Because you better fix this if you don't.
Yep. So, all right. One more in the don't get caught section here, Adam.
Yeah. So Todd has one. He says, I opened my MacBook Pro, which was running Mac OS 14 Sonoma, and all the files folders on my desktop were not there. Oh, that's scary. Looking on the Finder window sidebar under desktop, no files or folders. Checked my iPhone files app desktop. All my files were there. Oh, good. Logged into iCloud.com. All my desktop files are there. Searched via Spotlight. It found files on my desktop and would open them. This should have been a clue. I had not upgraded to Sequoia, so I gave that a try. Same result. Nice, clean, empty desktop. I did some Googling, picked through the cruft and found this page with a terminal solution. So we'll have a link to this in the show notes via user Andy Matthews. And it's a pseudo command to change the flags to no hidden on the desktop. So somehow, I don't know how he would have done that. Sounds like he set the hidden flag for his desktop folder, which was apparently hiding all the desktop files. He says, voila, my files and folders reappeared. No idea how that got toggled, but back in business.
Nice. I bet that like Onyx or something was the thing that triggered this, because I think that's one of the features in that sort of laundry list of parameters that you can set in Onyx. So, yep.
This is one of those tricks I think people use sometimes. They're, you know, we often get that question of, hey, I have a folder. I want to make it hidden or private. I don't want anybody to see what's in that folder, right?
Yeah.
So you go and it looks like an empty folder, but there are ways to do that, but don't get caught doing that and then forgetting or realizing that you did, you know, again, when the problem is between the chair and the keyboard, you know, it's a good learning moment.
It is. That's really what it is. Yeah. I call my mistakes my tuition, and that's how I justify paying for them in both time and money. So,
there you are. And thus ended this segment of
Lass dich nicht erwischen.
Nice.
Don't get caught in German.
don't get caught in Germany. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
I have too many stories about that. You want to take us to Gary, Adam?
Absolutely. I think Gary has a question for
us. Gary does have a question. Yeah, it's time to do some questions.
Okay. So Gary says, hey, MGG crew, I received my iPhone 16 Pro Max this past Friday and everything works. Woo. Cool. At first, I did the copy from my iPhone 15 Pro Max, but ended up wiping the device clean due to issues with Siri not responding, among other things. Since I started with a clean slate on Tuesday, I also unpaired my Apple Watch Ultra 1 and paired it fresh. I noticed that my battery life had taken a hit even after a fresh start. I know that part of it is due to the age since I purchased it around the time it came out. I skipped the 2023 Ultra 2 and kept going with this one. I started with the full charge Tuesday evening, and around 1 p.m. today, I am already getting a low battery alert at 10%. Wow. I used to get almost 2 full days out of it. I'm debating whether to take it to Apple and replace the battery or upgrade to the new Series 10 or 2024 Ultra 2. How much will Apple charge to replace the battery since my Apple Care has run out? Opinions and suggestions are welcome. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, so I jumped in on this one because I happen to have the Apple Watch Ultra 1. So I wrote back to Gary. First of all, he didn't mention which OS he has on his Ultra. And so the first thing I wanted to mention to folks, if you are noticing battery problems, several iterations back now on Watch OS, there was an issue with the battery. And Apple fixed that in one of their subsequent updates. So if you are not running the latest iteration of Watch OS on your Apple Watch and you're noticing the battery is hurting, first and foremost, update to the latest Watch OS. You have to be on the charger, has to be above 50% charge, and then you have to do all kinds of, you know, hold your tongue right and put in the code to get it to update, but it will update, and that may solve your problem. But assuming he's on Watch OS 11, then the issue with the battery should already be gone. I have the original 2022 Ultra 1, and if you go into the watch and go into settings and battery health, I still see 87% on my battery. I used to get about 60 hours. I'm down to about 48 hours on a battery. Wow. So so getting 14 to 16 hours on the battery, that ain't right. Something's wrong with it there. To answer your question about battery services, you go to support.apple.com/watch/repair, you'll see what they talk about there. If you're still under warranty and showing less than 80%, they'll replace your battery. But if you're out of warranty for $99, they will replace your battery. Expensive, yeah, but cheaper than a new Apple Watch, right? So especially an Ultra. And I love my Ultra. I mean, this thing is, it's cranking. And that being said, though, did you get the 10, Dave?
No, I have the Ultra 2. I bought the Ultra 2 last year.
Right, that's right.
So the Ultra 2 and the 10 are feature-wise fairly comparable, at least in terms of the things that matter to me. So if I had not bought the Ultra 2 last year, I probably would get the 10 this year, though. But no, I didn't.
So I bought my daughter, who was kind enough to lose her Apple Watch in the Mediterranean over the summer, I've got her a Series 10, and she gets almost 2 days out of it.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. And I got her the small one, the 42 millimeter, and it's because the display is big on that thing and it's bright, but it is almost the size of her wrist. So I'm thinking women may not love the 10 as much as, not just women, people who are generally smaller. And that
I have pretty small wrists. For a person my size, and like the Ultra 2 works fine for me, but I'm used to chunky watches because I wear mechanical watches, so it's a different thing.
Right. Yeah, right. And she said it's not deal killer, and the profile is thinner. So while the square of it is bigger, the profile is thinner, and she does get, like I say, a couple days out of it. And then there's all kinds of health things in there that are pretty cool. But so
I want to go back to Gary's question.
You've got a choice to make.
Well,
back to Gary's question.
Yeah, I have some ideas for him. Do you have any ideas for him, Adam, for solving his battery problem? Because I think this is solvable.
Not off the top of my head, but I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so I know what it sounds like is that something is just actively chewing the battery if he's only getting, hours in the teens. So one thing that we know, and even Apple knows, can chew, like we know that he wiped this and started fresh, but that means that his phone needed to repopulate the watch with everything.
Oh, right.
That initial process is going to chew the battery. Now, that shouldn't persist for days and days. The first day, yes. After that, not so much. So the first thing to do is just look at the watch and make sure, and you can see this in the watch app too, make sure that all of the apps that you have chosen to download to your watch have finished downloading. If they haven't, and there's something caught in a loop, that would be a place to look. Maybe stop that app from downloading from your phone to your watch and restart it, or just stop it and see if that helps for a day before you try to restart it. Barring that, go on your phone into the watch app and then settings and then general and then all the way at the bottom, tap reset. And the option reset sync data is in there because Apple knows that sometimes the contact syncing, they say contacts and calendars, but it's the contact syncing, can just spiral and never, ever stop. And resetting that will cause it to send that set of data one more time, but then hopefully end and stop chewing your watch's battery. So those are the two things I would look at: app downloads and the reset sync data. If neither of those worked, I would wipe the watch again and start it from scratch, and maybe turn off the option to install every app on there, right? And start it fairly. I mean, there's no such thing as a vanilla watch because it's going to be paired to your phone. It's going to be yours, but starting it without it auto downloading every single app onto the watch, try that and see, because maybe you've got an app that's misbehaving or you know, confused or something like that. So this is a solvable problem, Gary. You're going to be all right.
Does the watch have individual settings? I don't have my watch with me now, so I couldn't check this, but does it have individual settings per app for controlling things like background tasks? I know it does for notifications. So like, I know one thing that I did on my watch, I still have a Series 6, I think.
Okay.
And I get a day worth of use out of it. I wear it at night for sleep tracking. So I'll wear it all day, all the way through the night. And when I get up, then it needs a charge. And then I throw it on the charger while I'm getting ready, taking a shower or whatever. Yeah. I have a charger in my office in case I forget. But I throw it on the charger in the morning, you know, takes 30 minutes, an hour to get charged back up. And then I throw it back on and then I'm good for another day. So I'm not having battery issues with mine, but I do know that one thing I did very early on was I think I managed my apps, especially notifications, because I was like, I don't need every app's notification on my watch. Like, there's only a few that I really care about.
Yep.
So I don't know if that has an impact on battery life. I think even more so the background processing. So certain apps, like I have apps that I want background processing on, for example, say like Fantastical. So I make sure my calendars are up to date on my watch. And I think also my weather app.
Yeah, I don't know that you can set background processing on a per app basis on the watch. You can on the phone, but
yeah, right? Yeah. On some apps you can. Like, okay, he's talking notifications. You can tell it whether you want just a summary or tap to show the full thing.
Yes.
And those sorts of things. But so it's, I think it's on a per app basis whether or not you can.
Yeah, set that's fair. Those, you know, I would also try putting it into low power mode for a day and see that. Like, I mean, I know that's not a long-term solution, but that would at least tell you, okay, you know,
it's the background app chewing it up.
Correct. And then you can sort of, you know, continue. That's a data point for our troubleshooting. Here
is. And something I glossed over in the beginning there, but I would definitely go in to the settings and check the battery and check the battery health. If you're below 80%, then your battery is clearly having difficulty keeping up with the things that are going on, and then it's a time to make a decision. Do you want to repair or do you want new?
Yeah.
And, I don't know if they do it with repair.
I don't think this watch was working before he did this. So I think this is a software problem.
I don't think it's a battery problem either. No. A hardware problem, as it were, and for those that do decide to go new, remember veterans and military discount for at the bottom of their page. So
it's at 10%, right?
10%. Yeah.
That's great.
So a $399 watch is $360, basically.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Cool.
We got anything else for today? No. All right. Adam?
I mean, a little follow up on the battery thing. I'm just curious real quick. This should be a quick conversation. So I do know that, you know, I got my new iPhone and I got an alert on the iPhone about hey, based on how you're charging, and I think it's probably because I work from home and stuff like that. I have my iPhone on a charger a lot. Like, it's on the charger a lot. So I got the little notification from the operating system saying, hey, based on how you're using your battery, we would recommend that for longevity, you set the setting so it does, you know, the max charge is 80% instead of 100%. And I'm curious if you guys have activated that or do that. Or
I got the same notice this week, Adam. Yep. And it told me for mine, it should be 85%. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Now,
oh, interesting.
I don't charge my phone during the day. I have wireless CarPlay thanks to the CarLink Kit 5.0 adapter that you made me buy, Adam. And I appreciate that you made me buy that. It's awesome. But so even when I'm in my car, I don't generally charge my phone. And I've noticed that by the end of the day, at like close to midnight, which is sort of when I think about going to sleep, my phone is in the teens. It's like, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13%. Now, I know that that's enough battery left. Like, it is correct that we are using that amount, but it sure seems sketchy to me that, you know, wow, what if? And I haven't hit the where it ran out yet, but I need to reset my own internal clock. I do also have an automation that sets my phone to low power mode when it dives below 40% battery, not 20% battery that Apple does. It's right. Just automatic for my phone. If it gets below 40%, low power mode. But that's been true on my phone since I got it. So I think that's factored into Apple's calculations, like in terms of how much battery I'm burning. So, yeah. Hey, did you turn it on for yours, Adam?
I did. And the thing is this also is a feature on, you know, the solar battery generator that I just mentioned. It has a similar setting that you can say only power everything up to 80%, and it's to make the batteries last longer. So this is obviously a thing with batteries. If you're looking to get more longevity out of your lithium ion batteries, or whatever technologies we're using now, apparently it is better not to be constantly charging them to 100%, all the way to 100% if you don't need to.
Right.
I left it on charging to 100% because I want that extra power, but knowing that, hey, this is going to be harder long term on the battery, so you're probably not going to get as many years out of your battery if you're doing that. So, if people are looking to have their devices' batteries last longer and can get by with this, like you're saying, I haven't had a problem since turning it on 80%. I'm the same way. Like, at the end of the day, I'm still at 40, 50% battery because, again, I'm constantly near a charger. So I'm throwing it on the charger all the time anyway, which is why I think it recommended, hey, don't go above 80% because you're constantly you're not letting it. We've talked about, you know, this theory about batteries like to have the energy moved around, right? It's better on the battery if you're letting it go all the way down to 10% and then getting it back up and then going all the, you know, if you're actually using your charging cycles versus doing these little sips where you go, it goes to 70% and then you take it to 100 and then it goes to 80% and you take it to 100. That's hard on the battery from my understanding.
Mine too. Yeah, I think that's correct.
And so it's interesting that it suggested it. That's kind of cool because I'm looking down at mine. My phone is new, obviously. So I go into settings, battery, and then it's under charging is where I found it. And then you can set the limit from anywhere between 80% and 100% set charge limit. And mine says based on your iPhone habits, charge limit of 80% is recommended. So I have it currently set to 100. It hasn't come up and notified me, but I'm happy to set that charge limit and see how it.
Yeah, see how it does.
How it does. Yeah.
The other thing for people to know about batteries is if you are planning on dropping something on a shelf, like if you're going to stop using an older device or something like that that has a built-in battery, you want to make sure that it's not at a 0% charge. You want to have it, you know, partially charged, probably not fully charged at 100% too. I've heard of like 70% or 80% or something like that before you set it on the shelf for a long, long time so that it doesn't drain all the way down to zero. Because if it drains all the way down to zero and then just sits, that's really, really bad for your battery.
Might not come back. Yeah. Yep. One interesting thing, Apple's Knowledge Base article on this charge limit says, if you have it enabled to less than 100%, your phone will still occasionally charge all the way to 100% to maintain accurate battery state of charge estimates. So it's going to, they're doing what they need to do to manage this. I think all of this is great. Like, we used to need third party apps to do this. Of course, you couldn't do that on the iPhone because there's no third party apps to do that. But like, I'm glad that Apple is baked so much of this into the OS. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that was my last little thing.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, the band's ready to play. So good news. Go. Thanks for hanging
out
with us.
As the band's playing, let me read this last little note in here. When the charge limit is set to 100%, allow the phone to wait to finish charging past 80% until the time you need to use it.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's optimized battery charging, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
because you can turn on one or the other, right? You can turn on charge limit or optimized battery charging. That's right.
And so if you don't be pulling it off at 60%, and unless you need it.
Yeah, but unless you need it. Yep. So, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Thanks for go sign up for the giveaway, MacGeekUp.com/giveaway for Eternal Storms with Yoink and Screen Float. Fun stuff. Yoink is such an indispensable app for me, and you could win a free copy. Thanks to CashFly for providing all the bandwidth to get the show from us to you. Check out Pilot Pete's other show, So There I Was. And I have Business Brain and Gig Gab. I don't know why I'm saying them this way. All right. That's
because it. You can.
Because I can. I don't know.
You aren't even drinking yet.
No. Gosh, no. It's 11 a.m. 5 o'clock somewhere. You know where that 5 o'clock is? They say 5 o'clock somewhere. Somewhere is an airport. Because in an airport, nobody judges you, no matter what time of day it is, for ordering a cocktail. So when they say
I don't know.
I guess
they do when you're in uniform.
They might judge you. Fair point. And I would agree with this. That's right. Yeah. Hey, that aside... do you have any advice for people, Pete? And I'll let you read my shirt if there's any issues with that.
Yeah, if you're in the airport in uniform and drinking, well, don't, for starters, just don't.
Yeah, don't do that. That's right.
Yeah. And otherwise, don't get caught.
Like Pete with the banners.
Made up. Later.